friends. Welcome to episode 9 of the Questions Bar on the Incandescent Women magazine, our Empowered Together network. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, co-founder of this organization where we're bringing women around the world together so that we don't feel like we are alone in this time of crazy. It is July 1st, 2025. And we are here with amazing Stun Gun Jen. So let me say hello to my co-host, Alina.
Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to have Jen here and to have you, Hope. And I'm feeling super stressed. And I was looking forward to our podcast because every time we talk, I just feel better. And that's the intention for everyone else who is listening and feeling like, oh, my God, there's so much anxiety. Hopefully you as well will feel better after this podcast. That's the goal, to empower ourselves.
And we want everyone to raise a glass to being together, no, come what may.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. My coconut water that gives me potassium to calm down.
All good. All good. So here we are, episode 9, and our topic is self-defense, personal self-defense. Let me just tell you a tiny bit about Jen before we launch in. So Jen Lester, aka Stun Gun Jen, is a dynamic self-protection expert with a mission to empower individuals to take control of their own protection. With over 11 years of experience in the field, Jen brings a unique perspective to self-defense education, having previously served as a 911 dispatcher for nearly 12 years. Amazing. The stories you can tell, I can't even imagine. This background fueled her passion for proactive safety measures, inspiring her to transition from assisting victims after traumatic events to equipping people with the knowledge and tools to become victors in potentially dangerous situations. So welcome to our show. You are guest number 1, and here we all, we've made it to episode 9. So this is part of our practice. We want to take questions and talk to experts in the field so that we help women just be smarter, better, stronger, faster, and more in love with themselves as we walk through this life, come what may, right?
And, you know, the first question was from Hope, because a few weeks ago you mentioned that you didn't feel safe when you were coming out of a metro. And you asked, well, how do I stay safe? And I thought we got to have Jen here to answer that question because she's the expert and just a great human being. So here we are.
Here we are.
Oh, yeah. I'm so touched. Thank you so much, Alina. I'm so honored for you guys to have me. I really appreciate you inviting me to share with everybody. And Alina, you've been a lifeline for me in this chaos, knowing that I have someone so aligned with the way I feel to be able to discuss things, even though mostly it's been on Instagram, but I just thank you so much for that. So Hope, take it away with your question.
Yeah, well, just to add to the fear, the factor, you know, it looks like the big bad wolf bill is about to be passed. It got through the House. I know, right? You just look at it and you go, you know, the No Kings March made me feel better because I knew I wasn't really by myself. Millions of people felt the same way around the world. And it was amazing to feel that. But now it feels like, you know, the Supreme Court is just a rubber stamp for this insanity. And, you know, what can we do? So I think we just have to keep breathing through it, but also understand how we can protect ourselves because, you know, they're the new Nazis. And they, you know, it's just, I mean, anyone can probably get that garb and pose as them. Of course they are, right? So.
Go ahead.
Just the one thing I wanted to say was reiterating my story. I was telling Jen before we started recording. So I was on the metro a few weeks ago here in Washington, D.C. It was late at night. It was not late at night. It was like 9 o'clock. So it was dark. And I live in Virginia, so I was taking the blue line in, and it stops at Reagan Airport right before my stop. And a gentleman got on, youngish gentleman, and, he looked like he was sort of like I kept an eye on him. And then he moved closer to me as the ride continued. And then my intuition was just like, this is bad, you know? And he ended up getting off with me. And he walked behind me and I sped up. I took the steps, you know, and he kept pace with me. And so I pulled out my phone and I just said, hey, honey, I'm here. I'll meet you and the kids outside in 2 minutes. He paused and turned around. But, you know, I kept looking over my shoulder. I did watch him go back down. But, you know, I felt so vulnerable for the first time, honestly, that I've been taking the metro for years. And I just felt like, shit, you know. And so when I told Alina the story, that's when she said, we have to bring Jen on. So tell us, what can we do to protect ourselves?
Well, you know, Hope, with everything you did, you were doing everything right without having extra tools in your hand. You had your situational awareness on point, noticing him even come on, listening to your intuition, which so many ladies discount their intuition because we've been told through our lives, we're being paranoid. We're such scaredy cats. Oh my God, you're being ridiculous. When we voice to people that something's making us uncomfortable, that it becomes our internal dialogue and we start to tamper it down. You didn't do that. So kudos to you for staying on top of it and not telling yourself that crazy, ridiculous stuff that unfortunately we get so trained into telling ourselves. And then you noticing even that he came off the train with you. And sure, he could be going to the same stop. And that's one of the things you'll hear people commenting, well, maybe he just wanted to go off on the same stop. And maybe he did. And what you did to, you know, what you did to deter it, making that phone call fake or not, letting them know that, hey, somebody's right here waiting for me, not all the way back home or anything. It's, hey, somebody could be right up the stairs right here or right on the landing waiting for me. It was really, really smart of you to do. So kudos to you for thinking on your feet so quickly. And you know, there's going to be people out there that say, oh my gosh, I could never tell a lie or I can't make things up or, you know, some of those ridiculous things too. Lie for your safety every single chance you get. Like, I'm not a good, I don't like lying. I'm one of those people who's truthful to a fault. You will always know what I'm thinking and feeling. And some people don't like that. Too bad. But for me, it's all about if it means your safety, you're going to lie. I don't care. So you did everything right in that situation. Do I want you to also carry tools should it not work and not deter? Absolutely. But there's, you know, you're going between Washington, D.C., where there's a lot of restrictions on being able to even carry as well. Like, so you have to know those types of points, too.
Oh, well, tell us more about that.
Well, there are restrictions in different states, and I don't have the chart right in front of me, but the company that I contract with for the self-defense tools that I promote, and the reason I do is I love their innovation. I love their mission because they actually help fight human trafficking. I love the fact that they really stand behind the quality of their products. So all of that, they keep a constant list of the ever-changing laws in different states to be sure that they don't increase liability or legal issues for you to be carrying your self-defense tools. I don't have it in front of me, but I do recall that in Washington, D.C., there are a lot of restrictions. I want to say stun guns and pepper sprays are both restricted there. Don't quote me on that. I'd have to relook at it. But they do have other options as well that I help teach how to use, too. So
promote this and we get this out. We'll list that. We'll link to that so that you can know in your state, your town. So we'll just keep sharing this information. It's so critical.
Perfect. And anytime someone wants to reach out to me direct, just to ask too, because, you know, if you post the current list, again, that could change. With everything seeming to change daily in our country, that could change. So always know that I'm a resource. I can find the information for you. Don't just Google because that sometimes isn't the best information. So we can make sure you can get protected no matter where you are.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, talking about pepper spray, and I want to just give a little plug for the products that you promote and that I bought. And this is why I wanted you to be here because I use it. So I'm going to show my pretty ones because they match my outfit, obviously. But I love this pepper spray because what I remember what Jen said, it leaves a mark that people cannot see, but it is a, you can only see it with black light, I believe, right?
It's a UV dye,
UV dye. And I remember you told the story that a woman had her ex-husband come to her and she had the restraining order. By the time the police would get here, he would be already gone. But she sprayed him with it. And when they went to his office and they did the light, they could see the traces of it. So it was a proof. And to me, especially with the ice and especially that they can just get anybody and not even the real ice, people posing as ice, because there's a lot of cases now that people are being victims of rape and stuff, but this you can spray and they can at least get traced later too. So those
for
are
up to a week. Yeah.
Up
for up
to a
to a week.
Week. Yeah, which is amazing, which is amazing. And then you also have this product. I don't have it with me, but it's a keychain that people can press on if they're in distress, and that alerts people who are nearby, that their loved ones or whoever you have on the list. So I thought that was also very good and can be in any state. You can use it in any state because it's not a weapon, but it alerts people of your location.
Can I share your story, Alina, from when we
Sure.
met?
I don't remember my story, but you can
I
share.
see, I remembered meeting you, gosh, this was 2.5, 3 years ago. And when I shared that product, which we now have one that I like even better, but when I shared that product, so what she's talking about is the Hear Me Out alarm by Damsel in Defense. And it's when you pull it's a loud 120 decibel alarm. And then on the back, there's a silent signal type of button. Both activations, text 5 pre-programmed contacts that you're in trouble with your GPS location and engage tracking. So your loved ones will get a new update every minute, letting them know where you are now so they can be getting you help while you're fighting or escaping a potential a problem. So I remember, and Alina, I may be remembering wrong, but this is what's in my mind from it all. I remember afterward, Alina coming to me in tears because,
No,
or
I've never come. It wasn't me.
wasn't you? Someone
No.
at that party came to me in tears after
That was, I know the girl, but it wasn't me. Yeah.
because they had been the victim of a date rape drug at one point. So, and all that they knew is that the minute the effects hit, they called a friend and they said, "I need help." And then there was nothing else they could say after that. They were out, and they next day did not wake up in the same location in the same condition that they left their home in. So I'll let your imagination take whatever, because I don't even remember the details myself. However, that's a huge scary thing to me. Now, had that same person had a device like this, been able to just push the button, not even make that phone call, then help would have been on the way to their location. She wouldn't have had to remember an address. She wouldn't have had to remember any of that because all of it would have gone to those close proximity people. That's another reason why I love contracting with Damsel in Defense for their tools is because they don't charge a subscription fee for it. Every other device like this that I've seen on the market, there's a fee for using the device. Now, the one I personally carry, I changed it up. I was carrying the Hear Me Out when that's the one that they first had, but I changed it to one. It's just this big. Like, this is tiny. This is the entire device. I can put this in my pocket or anywhere, but it's the silent signal. So there's no loud alarm, but there's no accidental activations that I ever get from this. I've had it in my pocket. I have it on my keys. I have it everywhere, and I don't get accidental activations. And that's really saved my family's sanity. But even, you know, like you were mentioning, the ICE raids and the insanity of all of that, and like you said too, we're seeing those cases come out where women are being grabbed and taken, believing that this is an ICE person that's taking them into an alley or whatever, doing what they want. Or I'm absolutely positive that one day we're going to see huge numbers of human trafficking. Well, that's really what half of this is human trafficking, but we'll see huge numbers of human trafficking, not by our government, but by bad actors, other bad actors pretending to be these federal officials, because nobody knows. And I'm really kind of waiting for the day that anybody uses any kind of self-defense device against these people. These people don't have badges. They don't, you know, they don't have signed judge warrants or anything. So what's keeping our citizens from using their legal self-defense against that? Like, if somebody grabbed me on the street, they're going to be met with some tools. Now, not necessarily lethal, but they're going to be met with some tools that are going to cause them some pain, and I'm going to be working to get out of it. So I don't understand how that's not happened yet, and I'd love to understand how the government's going to handle it when it does, because by a legal recourse, I have every right to fight against somebody grabbing me off the street, especially someone who is not identifying.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask you something because I remember you had, and I watched it on your Instagram. You had a video of you with the anchors on TV station, and you said, use the stun gun to the biggest muscle group. And the guy goes, like, the crotch. And you're like, no, I said the biggest muscle group or something like that. It was funny. But But this is what a stun gun looks like, and it's very useful. We haven't used it, although my fiancé stunned himself because he accidentally pressed the wrong button in the pocket. But right now the button is not telling me
so
how much charge.
Do you have the key in it?
Yeah, we have the key. I have the key in there, and it shows the charge, and it has a flashlight, which is nice. And we use it every night when we go for a walk with the dog, because there's coyotes in the area, so we thought like some coyote attacks us. So can you remind me how you use it? Just like put it towards any muscle, and if an ice posing person who's dressed as somebody who's not an agent, and they are wearing clothes and they're wearing a vest, where do you stun them with this?
I would, because a lot of them are wearing like a tactical vest.
Yes.
So that's going to thicken everything up there. Go for the thigh.
Thigh.
Which is really one of your better targets anyway, because what a stun gun does, and people think it's like the movies, right? You stun somebody and they're unconscious and you carry them off and talk to them. Like, that's baloney. That's Hollywood. Stun guns are just a pain compliance tool. So the goal is cause pain so that they release and you get a chance to get away. Now, bigger, larger muscle groups are your better targets. So chest, abdomen, thigh being those great targets. The thigh is a good one because not only does it cause pain in any muscle group, but it also takes the glucose and turns it into lactic acid. So you're going to create a Charlie horse effect. You're going to be able to take some of the energy out of that thigh. So even if they stay on their feet, running after you is not going to be so easy because they're going to have one leg not working quite as well as the other. Now, like you said, it was, oh my gosh, Elon Mickelson on Fox LA. So he asked me, he's like, well, what about the groin? And like I always say, well, that's not really a large muscle group, but it is a high nerve group, right? So I wouldn't ever tell a woman stop and aim. If they grab you from the back, especially, just reach back and hit what you can hit, but reach low because, you know, that lower quadrant is fantastic space to hit. And like she had the key, the reason for the key, with your, you said your boyfriend or fiance?
My fiance, yeah.
Yeah. He had it in his pocket. He shouldn't have had the key in it in his pocket.
I know. He took it to go walk the dog. So we have it, you know, with the key, and he went to get it. But instead of pressing the button for the light. Yeah. For the power, he pressed the actual button. So, you know, he was hurt a little bit, but you know, he was still okay, but
yeah,
it definitely startled him.
Well, and it was a fraction of a second. Bless you. It was nothing like if you're using it on a predator, you're gonna jam it in like a knife.
Yeah.
And you're gonna hold it as long as you can. You know, I have people who've been like, oh, and they'll touch themselves barely, it still hurts like the dickens, but they're like, oh, that's not really gonna work. Well, I'm not gonna just barely touch a bad guy either. But the reason for the key, you know, you wear that around your wrist. So if a predator were to overpower you, and let's be real, ladies, like, I don't care if you've been trained to fight. Most men are physiologically stronger than most women. So if they grab you from the back, how are you going to get away by just simple brute force, right? That's why we need these types of things to level the playing field. But if they were to pry it out of your hand without getting stunned, which will be a challenge, you saw the size of it, it's going to fit right in Alina's fist, right? So if they were able to fully pry it out of your hand, the key's going to come out of it, which will disable the device, and therefore they will not be able to turn it against you. That's the whole reason for the key. That, and let's be real, it makes it safe to put in your pocket if you take the key out, makes it safe to have in your purse if the key's out when it's sitting in your purse. The only time my key's in mine is when that device is in my hand, and then I'm ready to go all the time. But also makes it child safe for all the mamas who want to protect their babies while they're out and about. Make sure if it's in the diaper bag or in your purse, the key's out of it so those babies don't reach in. Just make sure if you have it in the stroller cup holder right while you're there or in your hand that the key's ready to go for quick use.
Yeah. No, this is, I feel safer, you know, with the coyotes and just who knows, you know, the other day we were walking and we saw this not a pickup truck, like one of those vans, but it was dark, tinted windows as well. And it kept just circling around our blocks and like pausing and it's like casing our neighborhood. We were really freaked out. I took a video of the license plate, but it doesn't feel safe even in a safer neighborhood where we are. And, you know, the whole country doesn't feel safe right now. So these things definitely make me feel better. And, you know, I also wanted you to mention, maybe you shouldn't yell here like you showed us, but in the class, you will say, like, use this hand and say, like, back the F off.
Yes.
And screaming, right? That was, you know, making sure that our voices don't get stuck. It's very important.
That's a huge part of our self-defense. Now, you know, number one tool in your self-defense is just like Hope had, her situational awareness. She knew that guy was, she saw him come on. She listened to her intuition. You know, situational awareness isn't just the things that we pick up consciously. It's also those subconscious cues that come in that cue in our intuition. So your second step in self-defense is using your verbal boundaries. And that's what you're talking about, is that back the F off. Or you can start calmer. You can work on de-escalation if the situation really goes for that, right? But if they're already coming at you or anything like that, if Hope had turned around, stared at this guy and went, why are you following me? Like, there's a good chance he would have been like, okay, never mind. You know, because these predators, they don't want to get hurt. They don't want to get caught. And the minute we give them that stare down or that confrontation, even if it's a softer confrontation, just not too soft. The other thing I always teach is how to set a proper boundary. And this is something that can apply to any woman, even with toddlers. Like, it doesn't have to be a predator, right? It can be a woman in a non-healthy relationship. It can be a woman with kids. It can be men too, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to any sort of predatory situation, we want to remember that we need to present as a hard target, right? So that's number one, is you carry yourself like a hard target. You're not timid. You're not kind of cowardly. When you're walking boldly and you have a situation come up, you can start nice. You don't have to, but you can start nice. But the thing is, you can't stay there. So if I'm going to ask you to please step back, please go away, please stop talking to me that way, whatever, I'm only asking one time, never more than once. Because every time we re-ask, we're just showing them that we're an easy target. We're just training them to believe if I push a little more, I might get what I want. So we want to be sure we ask once. Then you're going to tell them very darn clearly, right? And that's where that back the F off comes in, right? And we add the F word, ladies, even if you are not comfortable with the word. I mean, some of us are more comfortable than others. But even if you're not comfortable with the word, use it anyway. And this is something that I was taught by men who train police and SWAT officers. There's something about a woman using that word that suddenly can switch that victim profiling in the predator's mind of, this person's not as easy as I thought. They're not as weak as I thought. They're going to just kind of like switch and go, whoa, maybe not. Okay. And then of course, if that still doesn't work, then you're going to go straight into the, you're going to make them. It's ask, tell, make. Three little words that go with boundaries. Ask, tell, make. You never repeat number one or number two. And you do number three until you have the chance to get away. Pure and simple.
Thank you for sharing that.
It's so horrifying to feel unsafe, right? And this is, you know, well, a couple of things. First, I want to reiterate your advice. One of my other clients is Elaine's Literary Salon, and the host of that is Jeffrey James Higgins, a best-selling thriller novelist who spent 25 years as a secret agent around the world, like battling the Taliban and all, like, you know, and he's not an intimidating fella, you know, he's like 6 feet, kind of a slim build, but he's tough. And I shared this story with him about my experience on the metro, and he said exactly what you did. He said, look them right in the eye and say, can I help you, or back off, or something like that. He said, because they will usually back down. So that's the advice. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. My intuition was saying, just kind of keep moving forward because your heart rate goes up, you know. But now that I have additional information in my toolbox here, you know, I really want to bring you on the Empowered Women Together Network, because the thing, Alina's on the board, Cynthia DeLorenzi and I founded it the day after the election, and then Alina came on, and we have five women working with us to try and raise this up. So the goal, in addition to promotion, inspiration, networking, and education, part of that is take a class, teach a class. And I know that so many women need to take your class, hear your advice, have these products. I mean, talk about the best birthday present you can give or give yourself is this self-protection, especially now. You know, so I invite you to do that. Being Candescent is our health and wellness business magazine. I will put you on the cover of that. This is so important. This, I mean, it really is because, you know, it never happened to me before, but now that it has happened, I'm on the lookout for it, right? And especially now, what is going on in the country. So that's my question, my next question to you. What's your forecast? What are you seeing and what can we do? You were alluding to it a little bit, but I'd love for you to talk more about that.
What I'm seeing right now, at least with even my own clientele, I'm having more and more women who are feeling scared. I mean, with our rights being taken away, people are being more emboldened by this administration to show their hate, to show their misogyny. You know, I've had, when all of this was actually started and the election had just happened, and it might have been right after he was actually inaugurated, but I had a client come to me at a, because I do pop-up markets too besides my classes, but I was at this market and this woman came up to me and she said, my daughter's an Instagram influencer and she's been doing this for years, never had a problem. But the minute this administration took over, she started having men come in and telling her, well, it's your body and it's my choice. And not in a way that we're talking about abortion. Like she wasn't even discussing that. They're using it as a sexually predatory threat. So more and more women are feeling on edge for sure. And nice men too. I mean, there's still good men out there. Don't get me wrong. I just will usually when I'm talking, men are the more predatory of our species. There's bad actors in women too. Don't get me, you know, remember that. Don't ever let your intuition go on the slide because you're like, oh, it's just a woman. I'm sure I'm fine. I'm being ridiculous. No, there's bad actors that are women as well. We see them in the administration too. So just.
And the number one person with Jeffrey Epstein was a woman. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Who looked very nice and very sweet.
When it comes to trafficking, women are usually the lures, and sometimes because they're the head of the ring and sometimes because they're victims themselves and this is their only way to survive what they're going through. But nonetheless, women can be the bad actors and we need to pay attention to that as well. But oh my gosh, now I'm forgetting where the heck I was going with all that. Oh, and with the ICE and all of that. I mean, if we are being calling a kettle black, like they are not just deporting. That is human trafficking. For them to deporting is supposed to be taking a person back to the country of their origin. They are putting them in third world, never before stepped foot in the country places into essentially enslavement camps. So that's human trafficking right there. But we have the ones who are faking being federal agents that are actually harming people. And I see an increase in human trafficking, which was already becoming the number one crime, especially for organized crime. You know, when you are selling drugs or you're selling guns, that type of thing that used to be what our gangs and everything were doing, they would have to get more to sell more. But you could sell a woman 50 times a night. So you don't. Sorry. So you don't need to actually worry. I mean, so you don't need to get more of it to keep using it. I've actually aligned with a resource center that also works with sex workers in our area and tries to give them resources. So I've been teaching classes to them to keep themselves safe while they're working on the street. So there's just a bigger increase in a lack of safety for people. And so education on what they can do, what's within their power. Not everybody's comfortable running out and getting a gun for themselves or concealed carrying. And honestly, not everybody's able, especially with state restrictions and so forth. And it's not the first thing I would recommend anyway, because not everything needs lethal defense. But there's a lot we can do without any tools in our hand, just by our own behaviors. And that's what I teach in my classes. And then, of course, I do teach leveling the playing field using tools because of the ability to overpower.
It's just so sad what you said about that influencer, because I remember when the first elections happened in 2016, I had a friend who was in D.C. and he said, then he's like a, you know, black man. And somebody who's got on the car, like, your time is fucking over. You know, we're to rule. Like in DC, which is very liberal and mostly like black people, there's so many black people, it used to be at least, you know, and so usually very tolerant. And even then, like the day after the election, and it's just heartbreaking. It's like giving people permission to grab them by the, you know, and if the president can say that's okay, then that creates a new precedent that anybody can do that to anybody.
Well, if you put a convicted, scary. I mean, if you put a rapist
yes.
in the White House, let's be yes. real, you're putting a sexual predator at the highest place of power in our country. Where do these predators that might have slightly been dissuaded by the fear of the law, where's Absolutely. Their fear anymore?
Absolutely.
Like, well, I can do this and I can still become president. Okay. Like,
you know, and I used to have a friend, but after the election said, I cannot be friends with you anymore because she said, and I quote, he's a good man, but will America great again? And I'm like, you have a master's degree in psychotherapy. You're supposed to be a smart person and see through people bullshit and you fall for this?
Yeah.
I cannot be friends with people who are either that dumb that to believe a felon, and he's like, oh, it's all lies. Literally, he said, grab them by the, in his own words. And you know that he has a track record of bankruptcies. Like, it's facts. And I don't want to be friends with anybody who is that cruel to be okay with felonies and to put that person in charge. So anyway, after the election, things have shifted for me. And then Hope and Cynthia and I, we were talking. I'm like, oh, my God, we need to just have this girl empowerment. And, you know, Hope and I were just talking, honestly, just the two of us, like, we just feel like shit. What are we going to do? And then we thought, you know what, why don't we just record our Zoom calls to inspire each other and figure out how are you dealing with this? How are you dealing with this? I just took 3 anti-stress, let's call like stress breakthrough supplements, and I'm drinking coconut water and I cannot focus on work today. My belly's hurting. I have a rash on my head because of the stress. It's crazy. You know, my mom said, go meditate. I will meditate. But if we need, I wanted to also ask both of you to share, you know, in light of this big ugly bill today and the Alcatraz, the new concentration camp tomorrow being unveiled, and him going to that concentration camp versus him going to the funeral versus him not going to the funeral in Minnesota and never even saying, hey guys, we should not have any kind of violence. Violence is not okay. He never once said that. So if you don't speak against something, you are for it. So how do you deal with it on a daily basis? Whatever you can share, you know, I'm just trying like one day at a time. And yeah, try to play with my dog who's making crazy noises right now, trying to get outside, wearing a bathing suit in the house, which I am right now, just for my mental relaxation. You know, feeling. I don't, can you guys hear him? He's going
not crazy. Really.
No, he's going crazy just by himself on a couch. But what are you doing daily? How are you taking care of yourself? I also, quick thing, I saw on Elephant Journal an article, I didn't read it, but it said right now we need to have different kind of self-care because people are feeling so anxious and so stressed just by living. Like every day it's something he does and you're like, I don't know, you can hate him so much, but yet more and more every day. And it's like, it's not about politics. People go, oh, it's not politics. It's morals. It's ethics. It's what's humane versus inhumane. It's human rights, human decency. And if something can be done to one American citizen, it can be done to every American citizen. And nobody's going to be safe. And even Elon Musk is turning onto him because even him, finally, he's saying that you cannot be friends with a snake. If you're friends with a snake and he does this to other people, he's gonna do it to you. And all those Republicans who voted for this bill, who are taking away, hopefully the House doesn't pass it, but who knows, you know, but all of those Republicans who voted in favor of taking away medical care for children and elderly, that is on their hands and the cruelty is just staggering. And I know they're gonna get their karma somehow. But anyway, how do we deal with it here and now? Because it's just so devastating and it's so heavy, so heavy. Oh. I cannot drink that much alcohol. Like, I tried, but I cannot drink that much. Okay, that's not an option.
I tend to, I had that same conversation last night. We had my mother over for dinner, and I was telling her, you know, I'm trying to get out away from a situation for the 4th of July where I would tend to be around a lot of people who had been my friends for years, but they were definitely his supporters and voted for him. And I just can't celebrate America with those same people right now. As much as I want to still love them, I'm having a harder time. Now, I'm trying to give grace to anyone who made the error because they fell for the BS, but now are actually seeing it and regretting it. I'm trying to give them a little bit of grace. Like, I have some forgiveness in my heart, even though if they hadn't been so stupid, then we wouldn't be here now. But whatever, they can't be changed. What can be changed is them working hard to join the resistance and changing their voting when, you know, all the seats turn in November 2026.
But do you honestly think there will be elections?
That I don't know. And I'm just holding on to hope here right now. That is the only thing getting me through is hope, right? Hope. So that's the only thing getting me through right now is hope that our entire democracy will not go away. And because if I stay there, I will spiral. And then I'm no good to anyone. I'm not good to my family, yeah, who's also trying to survive through this. I'm not good to me. And I'm certainly not good for what I need to do, which is keep empowering people to protect, yeah, themselves and really keep being part of the resistance and a voice of what I consider sanity, honestly, in all of this insane space. So for me to answer your original question, or what are you doing to protect your mental health, is I'm going for walks. I'm getting out in nature. I'm turning off my phone. In fact, I'm taking a road trip with my family this week to get us in nature more. I plan to do a lot more unplugging. I don't want to become so uninformed that I won't stay on top of things. But I'm going to limit myself to checking what's going on once a day, and be sure that I'm checking the right platforms. Like, if you go on network news, that's just dumb. We all know that. If you're listening to us and you're still here and you haven't turned us off, then you all know that network news is not a place to get the proper information anymore. You know, I've heard of Ground News. I use Straight Arrow News. And of course, there's a few Instagram influencers that I have personally started following and absolutely love and adore. Aaron Parnas, who, if you follow him, you know, every time you hear him say, "Folks, we have breaking news," your heart stops, but he's amazing. And Monty Mader, if you're tired of the fake Christians using the Bible to push their agenda, Monty Mader is an ex-evangelical who knows the Bible backwards and forwards that puts them in their place beautifully.
Aaron Parnas, right? You said Aaron
Parnas. Aaron Parnas, yeah.
I just follow, yeah, him. Thank you.
And the Midas Touch. Midas Touch includes Aaron Parnas and several others, including some of these people who've lost their jobs on network news.
I follow them. Yeah, I follow, yeah, them. And then I also follow the Politic Girl, and I, yep, follow Jessica, who I met, actually, Jessica Raven. I met her at the,
yes,
protest. She's very nice. I met her at a protest here in LA.
That's great. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm just so excited. We have now a list of resources that we can post. So let's collect that. And anyone who's, yeah, listening or watching or reading can, we invite you to come and join this conversation and share your best places for information. It's really, yeah, critical that we come together. So what do you ladies think? I'll just answer your question too. Out in nature, daily walks. I walk with my daughter every day. We do yoga in the morning as often as we can. We just try and ground ourselves, you know, and sometimes I feel like I don't even, she's almost 30 and I don't even want to tell her what I'm reading, because I'm like rabid about reading all this information so that I can sort of parse it together and multi-source things. I do look at Politico and The Atlantic and The Washington Post. I'm just really curious what they're all reporting on. I'm a journalist as well. And at the National Press Club, this Press Freedom Center that they opened last year, really important work, because, you know, journalists are being silenced around the world or killed. You know, Voice of America, it's ridiculous. There was actually a job fair at the press club a couple months ago. I write for their publication, so I covered it, and I was talking. I mean, like the most people turned out for this job fair, most journalists on record, like 400 people.
I remember you told me about it.
It's so horrifying. But so that's why these, you know, resources like what we're creating, where it's, you know, it's people talking to people about what they heard and what they knew. This is the new village. right? This is how we get information, share information, and protect each other. But my question is to you both, what's next? What's coming? Because it does feel like when I read that this morning about the, I think it was the House that passed,
the Senate passed
the bill. I said, this is the end of democracy as we know it. Done, right?
Well, he said in himself, you know, horse's mouth. Again, I don't like to watch news, and I try to watch a clips of what he actually says and in a context that he says. And when he was very clear, listen, you just need to vote this one more time. You don't have to vote ever again. So he was very clear on that. And he also said that we rigged the election, him, that is, he rigged the election to get it. And I don't know. I part of me wants to hope that there will be elections in 2026 and doing what we can, but part of me thinking like, what if there's not, because next year is, and Hope and I talked about it, is the Pluto return, which is 250 years of America, which is a usually the breaking point of a empire, and America is due for a reinvention, recreation, or a revolution. And according to astrology, Uranus in Gemini, every time that it was in Gemini, America has been at war. So the first was the revolution, then we had the civil war, then we had the Second World War, and now it's again the Gemini in Uranus in Gemini. So I'm thinking, what if there's going to be a revolution next year, next summer? And people are also saying that astrologically, this July, August are going to be very wild, because we're going to get a preview of what Uranus in Gemini feels like starting July 7th for 2 months, I believe. And so I don't know. Like, I don't think with Uranus you can predict anything except for change. And I think what Jen said, you know, trying to get sane so that you're stronger so you can resist, I think that's the only thing we can do, is just be strong and prepare for whatever happens and not waste too much energy being stressed. And I'm telling my belly right now, stop stressing. Right now, everything is fine. Like right now, right here, everything is fine. It hasn't hit yet. So don't stress until it does, you know? And I don't know. For me, I really don't see a good future for this country, unfortunately. I really don't. It might be a good future. It should be a good future, because we're in the age of Aquarius, and it should be about people and humanity and love. It should be going there. But until it does, I think it's going to be a very bumpy ride. And people who are all about, let's throw, what did you say, the criminals to alligators? You know, that, yeah. Like that inhumanity that has to go somewhere. I don't know how people can live with themselves that way, but I think it's going to be a lot of friction. I think it's going to be a lot of chaos, and we just have to be strong. And when the storm hits, to be ready for it. That's how I'm looking at it.
Just remember that, you know, it's our job to stay in the light instead of letting us succumb to the darkness.
Exactly.
And we have to remember that really worrying doesn't change the problems of tomorrow, but it does steal our joy of today.
Yes.
So do we need to stay on top of it? Yes. Do we need to let it completely consume us? No. And,
exactly.
And as hard as that is, because it is on a constant basis that it's coming at us. That's why I don't really want to make predictions. I do want to be aware of what could come. I want to be aware of how it affects everybody, not just myself and my family, though, yes, they're the people I am most responsible for protecting. But, you know, if we're human beings and we have compassion, even when we're voting or we're choosing, you know, what side to be on, we can't just be looking inward. We have to look outward and be sure that we're thinking and wanting the best for everybody, not just ourselves. And so, you know, anytime I start to kind of fall into it, I just start in my head, I just go light and love, light and love, light and love, because I want to remember that that's what I need to be in all of this. And the more of us that are projecting that, and the more of us who put it out there, the better in the end it's all going to be. Could there be a revolution? Absolutely. And maybe what it really is, you know, the way that you were saying it, the way my brain was interpreting, you know, your thoughts there, Alina, was that it could be that the big transition that's to come could be for the worse. But what if really it's for the better?
It could be, exactly.
Right now we're getting in the worst. Right now we're in the weeds. It's getting dark. It's getting really yucky. But I just have this strong feeling. You know, I reached out to you, Alina, when the whole fight started between Elon and Trump, because in the beginning of all of this pure hell, what I will call pure hell, I had this just wave come over me. This is 6 months. We're going to have to tolerate it 6 months. And yes, it's going longer than 6 months, but it feels like it really came to a big, ugly head in about a 6 month time, where I think it took about it, what it probably is it's taken about 6 months for more people to start waking up, yeah, for more people to have the veil lifted. And it's still going to take work, because those people who became so under the influence of this regime, of this cult, for just pure and simple truth, became under the influence of this cult, it's going to be hard for them to come out and admit they're wrong. People's egos are always in the way, right? So if they can come out and start to admit, gosh, maybe I was fooled. Gosh, maybe I didn't see this clearly. Or gosh, maybe I believed what he said, but let's be real. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. I always tell people Trump's mouth looks like a butthole and everything comes out of it is shit. So we have to pure and simple. So we have to keep in mind that more people are going to come to the side of light. And that's the side I truly believe we're on, because we're all leading with love and compassion and humanity. And that other side is the extreme opposite of all of that. Anybody who votes for people to be eaten by alligators, people who are not, I mean, it'd be different, maybe, if these people were truly hardened violent criminals. I don't have a lot of empathy for people who are violent criminals, but people who are just here undocumented, especially those who were trying to go through the system, but our system is broken. It needs reform for sure, but they were trying to do it the right way. Yeah. And then they're picked up at court. These are civil cases. This is not criminal. These are not violent criminals, for God's sake.
People who are working for minimum wage, working in the summertime outside, and they're working hard, are not criminals. They could be doing something else illegally. But you know what? I wanted to say something, Jen, because every time you're saying this, I'm like, yes, thank you so much for reminding me this, because, you know, Hope and I also bring each other up, and you just brought me up to remember that we are about love and light. We are about doing this to care about other people. And Wayne Dyer said that one person thinking positively can equal to 1,000 people thinking negatively. So it's a really big difference of positive energy versus negative. And I saw this video today, and maybe I'll send it to you both. You'll see it. But this guy is doing something, and the other, like, knitting, and the other guy goes, wow, you're so good at it, and I suck. And he started, no, you cannot think that, you're great, I love myself. And he, like, really was, you know, crazily aggressive about, you love yourself. He goes, wow, I feel so good right now, you're so good at that. He's like, no, I'm not. And the guy slaps him, like, yes, you are. So I feel like you just gave me that slap in a way, like, yes, love and light, don't get into the crazy, because I have a moon in Scorpio that tends to go down deep in the hole and imagine all the horrible things, and I fly out into this world. We can focus on positive things. And I feel hypocritical a little bit when I post happy things on Instagram, but then I'm like, we need to share happiness. We need to share lightness. We need to share things that bring people out to feel good about themselves and then create a better world, because we can only create a better world when we are being better and we're not being in fear, because being in fear does not serve us. So thank you. I appreciate you for getting me out of the darkness again. That's what this is for.
And that's the biggest thing we should be fearing, is allowing that darkness to take hold of us and allowing it to take us down. And I feel like with the chaos and the constant coming at us with something more, it's them trying to pull us there. They really want us to come down the rabbit hole. And the only way we can fight that is to stay mentally well. You know, I know that, Alina, you have great tactics on doing so. You know, you coach people on that, and you have great nutrition tips to help so your body stays feeling well. And Hope, I'm sure you have lots of tips to help what's going to keep people in that positive space, because it's very easy. It's very easy to go down a negative rabbit hole at some point, but all we have is each other. We got to be each other's anchors or let's not say that. We got to be each other's hot air balloons instead, and cut the strings of those anchors, cut those sandbags off. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. You're cutting off friends. You know, we're all cutting off friends that we don't want to share the table with anymore because they're part of the darkness. Picture them all. Yes, bless and release. Sometimes it's hard because we may have loved them before all this, but with all of this, we're seeing maybe characteristics that didn't show so much in the past. We got to just cut the strings because we're all going to soar. And eventually, I can't say how much time for sure, till we all rise to the absolute top again, we are going to be there, at least in a middle ground. At this moment, I'd settle for a neutral middle ground rather than, you know, nobody needs to be the winner, but we sure as hell need to get back to more love, light, humanity, and compassion.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. I feel so much better. My stomach is feeling better too, which has been really bad today, all day since last night. So I appreciate you. I know we're going really long time, so I don't want to keep our listeners for too long, but I really appreciate you because this is much needed, and I'm going to re-listen to your words of wisdom as a reminder. And then we're going to share it with other people and keep shining the light and keep remembering why we're here, and we're here to be the light.
Yes. Love and light, love and light. We'll leave everybody with that beautiful thought. Stun Gun Jen, you're amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your light with us today on the questions bar of the Empowered Together Network. Lena, amazing lifestylist Alina, and I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs. We're co-hosts of this show. We share our thoughts and ideas and hearts with you every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Alina's in L.A. I'm in D.C. And Jen, I didn't even ask where you are.
I'm actually near Lena. I could go. I mean, we could meet somewhere for lunch because I'm down in Long Beach, California area.
Yeah. Nice. Perfect. Well, let's get everybody around the world on this same love and light. You know, there's tons of women who are like this. And this this war against cruelty feels like really what the battle is and what makes some people cruel and feel like it's okay. I don't know that in this lifetime I'll ever understand or want to truly understand, but I think shifting that, right? Because we're not. And, you know, I was reading about Musk saying, you know, empathy is bad. You know, we have to stop being empathetic, right? And all of us who are empaths, and there's lots of us, you know, like, what does that even mean? I always feel like I'm speaking in tongues to some people, but that to me is truly like, I don't understand that language, right?
It's a Nazi language. Empathy is bad. Having sick people, having elderly people, having disabled people is bad. So it's that talk. But he's switching sides. So I'm like, is the enemy of your enemy your friend? Like, how does it work?
He's only switching sides out of greed, though. Keep that in mind. He's not switching sides because he has empathy. I hate to even say this, but I almost give him grace because if it's true that he's autistic, mm-hmm. the empathy may be harder for him to really gauge and understand. But the way he puts that out there and hating on his own trans daughter, like, I'm sorry. No, I just can't respect the man. I don't care what he does at this point. But because, too, everything he does is out of greed. If it were truly because he saw and cared about humanity, it'd be totally different.
Absolutely.
But I want you guys to remember, too, and I'm not a biblical person on the norm. I don't subscribe to organized religion. I'm spiritual. But, you know, for those who are, you have to remember that David conquered Goliath, and he conquered Goliath with just a tiny stone. And so I just feel like if we're really going to come around, and this is the crazy part, right? As soon as I said that, I got goosebumps. I do not think about these stories ever, but I get a voice. You know, even when I'm teaching my classes, I'll go off on tangents teaching classes because I get an inkling that this is something I need to say. And when I say it and I get goosebumps, I just got another wave. When I say it and I get goosebumps, to me, that's that higher power saying, this is what needs to be said. This is the message that needs to be shared for this moment. So I had to just break in and say that. We just have to remember David beat Goliath. And right now, you know, MAGA feels like Goliath. Even though we know truthfully that the compassionate and the empathetic are the bigger amount of human beings. But right now they feel like Goliath because they feel like they have all the power. We're going to beat them. We're going to get through that. We're going to beat them. We just need the time and we just need to stay in the fight. And just remember, love and light's going to help you stay in the fight.
Yeah. Amen, sister. Yeah, love and light. Let that sparkle around everyone as we finish up episode 9. Jen, I can't wait to bring you back and share your message with all of our readers. Our incandescent websites get more than 1 million hits a month, and our shows pop up really high on Spotify, Apple, and iHeartRadio. So we're excited to share this with everyone. And thank you. Thank you both. Thank you, Alina. Angel, you are those roses you sit next to, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me.
My sanity, this smells so good. Bring me back to the senses here now, you know.
Beautiful.
All right. Both you get out in the sunshine and get some good vitamin D today. That'll help your moods too.
Thank you. I'm planning to, after it gets a little bit less bright, you know.
It's warming here, so, but soon. All right. Thank you all. You are listening to the Questions Bar on Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. We will see you next Tuesday at 2. Thank you all. Bye.
Bye.